I was wondering if what you referred to here in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, for he has put all things, for he must reign until he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that is annulled is death, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says that all things are put in subjection, it is evident that is except him who put all things in subjection to him. But when all things shall have been put into subjection to him, then the Son also himself shall be placed in subjection to him who put all things in subjection to him, that God may be all in all. And that's the eternal state. But my question is, does this correspond at all to what we have in the garden where the Lord Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done? Where his will was perfect, but and when I speak reverently, as a man, it was a human will, perfect human will. And yet the will of God must prevail in the eternal state over even the perfect man. But I wondered if someone could maybe clarify that further.
In the eternal state, there would be no need for rules. Mm-hmm. So then all principalities and powers would have been dropped under the sway of the Lord Jesus. And he would have put down every reign. In the eternal state, there's no need for rule. So he himself would be subject to the word of God, but there's no need for rule or reign in the eternal state.
I wonder if I can just make a comment on what you just said, my brother. We have in the beginning of Luke the thought of his kingdom, there should be no end. And if you allow me to go back to Genesis and chapter 3 particularly and lead up to where I want to go. Brother Libby doesn't mind if I borrow some of the thoughts that we were sharing together. You know, God at the end of creation said that it was very good. And he said that he rested. And I never thought about this until Brother Libby pointed it out to me, that God was at rest at that time. You know, the sad thing, man and Satan disturb God's rest. And we heard about the birth of this one coming into the scene. And the angels rejoiced, and there was light, and the glory of the Lord was associated with that. And what we are looking at, brethren, is God and man working together with a view to the will of God. And in eternity, God will be king. God will sit on his throne as king, but there is a cooperation with a perfect man and perfect God working together with this end eternity, this blessed result. And anyone in this room, stand up if you could have saved the human race from ruin. I can. None of us. There was only one man. One man who came in a wonderful incarnation through the Virgin's womb. And that man alone could save us from the ruin that Adam plunged us in and we fell into. And so we see what we're seeing. I don't know if this helps, Brother Tom, that our brother Wesley suggested that the Lord Jesus will order things so much so that there would be no need to put down any resistance to God's authority, because the perfect man worked together with God, though he is God himself, but it's a wonderful mystery, worked together with God for the accomplishing of the will of God.
One point also that I wanted to mention is mentioned with 2 Peter, is that this should have a very practical effect on us. And Second Peter chapter 3, verse 11, it says, seeing, and our brother mentioned about the dissolution of this present earth, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And we were talking about that yesterday, the practical effect of the hope of the rapture upon us. But also there's a practical effect to the thought of the new heavens and new earth coming in. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heaven, for new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So we should have this effect that's here in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So all these truths, even though they're far off in the future, maybe, you know, this one is at least 1,007 years in the future, they're still very practical things, aren't they?
We also exhorted in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, all that has gone before in light of the rapture, the apostle could express be steadfast in verse 58, unmovable or immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. And I also, as was mentioned yesterday, we don't need to wait until we see our blessed Lord to give him that glory that he so well deserves. The apostle exhorts us now to start being firm, recognizing whose we are, so that we give him all the glory and the praise now.
Someone mentioned in our Sunday school class that God, before he had a Noah, before he had a family, learned much about God. But he could have just kept it and not done anything about it. But he did the will of God, preparing a house for the saving, preparing an ark for the saving of his house. And like has been said by our brother, and Michael said yesterday, that we know God. Let's do something to bring glory to his name. Because as a child or a young person or a young adult or an older adult, we may know the things of God. We may know what to do. But if we just hold them inside, now there is a time and a place for everything. But let us seek God to see what manner he would have us use the abilities he has given us for his glory.